Welcome to another episode of Quantum of Solace with David Robertson, and I'm Al Smith of the Solace Centre for Public Christianity. Today on the programme, the Olympics, Usain Bolt and Stephen Green. There's a new sexuality and gender report out that he's discussing, Angus Buchan's trip to Scotland, Celtic and Palestine, two women travelling. David, lots to get through. Where do you want to start?
Yeah, let's start with the Olympics, because it's done.
Yeah!
Now we can get to see some decent TV, like Great British Bake Off. Yay, Mary Berry's back.
That is one thing I will watch. I'll sit down with my wife and watched it last night.
So will I. This is where I have to make a confession, by the way. I hadn't realised we were going to talk about Bake Off, but when I heard about Bake Off, I thought, you have got to be off your head. There is no way, under any circumstances, will I ever watch a programme about baking.
You would think it's only in Britain, but actually it's a massive hit all over the world.
Yeah, I think it's huge in America. I love it, and Mary Berry is just superb. Though I do think there's a case of discrimination in the new one that's just started.
In what way?
The vicar got thrown off straight away, of course.
No.
You know, it's because he's a Christian, that's what it is.
Nonsense, his cake was rubbish.
Persecution.
Olympics.
Let's come back to the Olympics. This is a kind of interesting one, because I was asked by Premier Christian Radio to write a wee blog on Usain Bolt's faith and whether it was being ignored. My initial reaction was, who are you kidding? This is, you know, Christians crying wolf again, all that kind of stuff. And then when I looked at it a bit more, and then I thought about it a bit more, I realized actually there was something in this. Now, I wrote the article. It's been so misunderstood, because I'm not claiming that Usain Bolt was a Christian, because I don't know.
Yeah,
I know that he professes to be a Christian, and I know that his family say his faith is really important, and there's a whole range of other things that go with that. I know also that he does pray beforehand and afterwards. You can see from various tabloid headlines if they're correct, his lifestyle isn't exactly. I don't know. I'm not setting him up as a role model. But there are many others as well. But it did intrigue me that when I looked at it, the BBC, although they would mention Mo Farah's Islam because they want to portray a positive role model of Islam, which is fair enough. I mean, he is a Muslim. Why not mention it? They're very reluctant to have any Christian expression. So, for example, one incident was someone raised their hands to heaven and prayed after, and the BBC said, having a quiet moment to themselves. I said, no, that wasn't what they were doing.
Well, it's like the Fiji team when they won the Rugby Sevens gold. They're singing a hymn, praising the power of the word and the blood of the lamb. You know, I mean, it's...
Yeah, that was extraordinary. I mean, that's just really a really...
That's one of my highlights of the
Olympics. Oh, absolutely.
Olympics.
That was my highlight of the Olympics. That was beautiful. But there is this thing that the BBC do have. I mean, I've said it before. The most astonishing thing I was ever told was by a producer for The Thought for the Day for BBC Radio Scotland, you cannot mention the phrase Britain's Christian traditions.
Is it a concerted attempt to just kind of whitewash it out by not mentioning it?
It's two things. I would use the phrase airbrush, because I'm more PC than you. And I would also say that there is ignorance, but it's not just that indifference or ignorance. There is a deliberate attempt to airbrush out. And again, in the article, if you read it for yourselves, you can see things like not just the BBC, but ITV, the laughable discussion they had about whether Downton Abbey could actually be called Downton Abbey, because Abbey was a religious word, wasn't this breaching secular neutrality? See, neutrality is meant to be that people are able to express things and express their faith
in a neutral environment.
In a neutral environment, not have it airbrushed out. And can we come back to Mary Berry?
Mary Berry and the bacon.
Mary Berry and the baking. Yeah. Now, here's an interesting thing. I didn't know this, and maybe some of our listeners can tell us the truth, but I'm going to tie Mary Berry and Usain Bolt together.
They're both professing Christians.
I didn't know that about Mary Berry.
I've
just had a note come in on my computer as we're talking. There was an article in The Telegraph that I made a comment on Facebook page, and someone says, David, yes, but it doesn't mention her Christian faith. So she's a professing Christian.
Yeah, that's been well known for a long time.
Okay, but I'm...
Where have you been?
Sorry, I've just not been watching Bake Off very much. But I am now, and I'm a big Mary Berry fan. Well, if she's a Christian, I want her here in the studio. I want her to come and do a baking class in my church. She would just be wonderful to have.
Did you hear the one? Yeah. The one they wrote in the paper just the other day. Well, would you believe it? What I said. they took it all the wrong way.
Don't blow me all night.
Don't blow me all night.
Don't blow me all night.
Please don't blow me all night.
Don't blow me all night.
There was another Olympic thing that followed on from that. And again, it surprised me because our old friend Stephen Green resurfaced.
Yeah, he came up with an absolutely ridiculous tweet criticising Tom Daley. Tom Daley had a bad day at the office, didn't he? And he was expected to win in the diving and he didn't even qualify for the final. And Stephen Green tweeted, "Turning gay hasn't done Tom Daley any good." And this was picked up by the media and it created a bit of a firestorm.
Yeah, and here's an interesting aside in terms of our culture, because I had some Christians say, "Why did you bother drawing attention to it?" You know,
the reason had already happened.
Yeah, the reason I wrote about it is I woke up in the middle of the night, and if I wake up in the middle of the night and I've got an idea in my head, I always take that it's from the Lord. You know, but, no,
this is your charismatic.
It's my charismatic phrase. Yeah. I woke up and I just in my head I had this is what I would want to say to people who are in, and so I just got up in the morning and went down and wrote it, and I mean within a day, tens of thousands of people had read it and the press were in touch and so on.
Again, it's another article we'll link to on the program notes. If you go to solace-cpc.org and link to Quantum 76.
The trouble is this was already in mainstream media. LBC in London, the newspapers were all picking up on it. And so I wanted to respond to it. Now, some people will say, "Well, actually, really deep down in secret, you admired him and you agree with him, but you just realized that politically, it wasn't the wise way to go." I have to say this, and I don't know how more strongly I can say it. I regard what he said as absolutely horrendous. He phoned me and played the Matthew 18 card.
Yeah, but that Matthew 18 doesn't... Christians really need to get this into the head. Matthew 18 is governing a situation in a local church where a fellow Christian sins against you. You go to him privately and have a discussion about it first.
Yeah.
Public error requires public rebuke.
Well, and not only that. So, for example, let's say, Al, I have something against you. It is wrong for me to publicize it. It is wrong for me to gossip about it. What I have to do is come to you. If you don't listen to me, I take another couple of Christians along. If you don't listen to me, I tell the church. Now, to me, that means I tell the elders of the church who are responsible for discipline. However, when someone like Stephen Green puts himself out with church discipline, sets up his own organization, goes into public, for example, if you went to BBC Scotland and started saying some stuff, I wouldn't say, "Al, I need to have a private word with you." I would be on the BBC saying, "Nah, he's talking rubbish," or something, or "I was talking rubbish," or, you know, whatever. But I want to appeal to Christians who are listening to this. Get your theology right and stop misusing scripture. Then the classic is the one I have no hair left because I keep pulling it out. The number of posts I got from Christians who said, "You should not judge. You're a horrible person for judging. What a hypocrite you are for judging."
Come on.
You know where I'm going. Yeah,
well, my answer to that would be, look, I'm sorry, but Jesus says we are to judge. Book of John, chapter 7, Jesus says you have to judge and judge with right judgment.
But I'm not even going that far because that's true. I'm just going to simply say, are you judging me for judging?
The Apostle Paul says we don't judge people outside the church, but inside the church we have to judge.
Yeah.
Hang on, one thing. The other criticism that's come as a result of that is, this is you just being jealous. This is, you want to be the only voice that's in the public square.
Oh, please, give me a break. There's part of me that just wants to give all this up, go away and crawl away in a desert. Who wants to? I mean, when you get all the abuse and so on, I mean, there are people who thrive on it. I don't thrive on it. I've got a thriving church. I love my church. We've got people coming to faith. When I leave the studio here, I'm heading off to meet a young girl who's just become a Christian, wants to become a member on Sunday, you know, and so on. So, no, I don't need any of that. And that's not what this is about. What it's about is we want people to become Christians and we don't want them to be put off by the likes of Stephen Green, who use Christianity as a means for self-publicity.
I mean, ultimately, for me, this is about a zeal for our Lord's name,
yeah,
our Father's name.
So when you're feeling kind of mixed up, just remember it's a mixed up world. And if you're feeling life is just too tough, just remember you're a real tough girl.
There was another fascinating thing that came up. I think this is hugely significant. I've had a chance to read some of it. I haven't read it all. But the New Atlantis Journal has a report on sexuality and gender.
It's an astonishing report. Yeah. I've read the summaries of it and the conclusions of it. It's something that actually I think every Christian should read. Don't read the press around it.
Yeah.
We're going to link directly to the report itself.
Yeah. Read the actual report. There were six main findings. Let's just take one each. What was the one that stood out for you?
It was to do with sexuality. The claim that you're born this way... Yeah. Is not scientifically supported.
Yeah, and that's an interesting one because Thatcher would agree with that and so would others.
Well, so a lot of people within...
So would the more radical...
It was a very useful argument to win the same-sex marriage debate. It was jettisoned as soon as that had got through.
Yeah. I think the thing that strikes me in the New Atlantis Journal report is the horrifying statistic that something like 75% of children who say that they are transgender change... when they become adults.
When they grow into adulthood, yeah. They no longer have those experiences, yeah. Which shows you the utter folly of interfering at a young age with puberty blocker drugs or encouraging someone, a teenager or younger.
Who will take the blame for the blood of my children? To who does vengeance belong? To no one, no one. We're dying from tanks and suicide bombs. The only answer is to live as one. And justice will come for my sons. And justice will come for my sons.
Let's stick with the sport theme, actually. What do Celtic and Palestinian flags have in common?
Nothing historically, other than Hapoel Beersheba were playing Celtic in the sort of the precursor for the Champions League, and a section of the Celtic support decided to antagonise the opposing fans by displaying support for Palestine. They were warned not to by UEFA. It looks like that there's going to be some sanctions against Celtic.
Yeah.
I don't know, what's the link with Palestinian supporters and Celtic?
I tell you what I think the link is, and I think there's a certain naivety with people here. At best, you can justify this by saying these are wonderful people who are showing their support for an oppressed people, and they are doing so because they themselves come from, and the narrative is, Irish, Catholic, oppressed background. And that's meant to be the history, and that's why they do it. And isn't this fantastic? And this is solidarity with Palestine. There are some people who think that. However, if you go a little bit deeper, what you discover are, I would say, several things. First of all, it's a group of Celtic fans who like causing trouble. Secondly, if you're for the oppressed, why are you just waving Palestinian flags? What about people in North Korea who are being oppressed? What about people in Nigeria who are being oppressed? What about people in China who are being oppressed? I mean, in other words, there are far worse cases of oppression, or at least as bad cases of oppression, that are ongoing. So it's not just that we're wonderful people who have a sympathy for the oppressed. What is also going on here is something that is deeply ingrained in European culture, something that is deeply ingrained in Scottish political culture as well. And I'm ashamed to say
it's
this.
It's anti-Semitism.
Anti-Semitism.
It's anti-Semitism.
Absolutely.
I mean,
and they go absolutely berserk and say, oh, no, it's not anti-Semitism.
It's not anti-Israel. We're pro-Palestine.
Yeah. But you ask any Jewish person in Scotland today about the anti-Semitism that is on the rise right now. I don't have a problem with people saying they're for the Palestinian people. I had a woman from my own congregation who went to work in Nablus. I'm not standing here saying, okay, everything that the Israeli government does in the West Bank is wonderful. That is not the point. We're not talking here from a kind of Christian Zionist perspective. We're talking here just simply from a logical perspective and from the view that anti-Semitism in Europe is on the increase. It is largely, sadly, the far right, but also left-wing groups who are becoming more and more anti-Semitic.
There are certain politicians within, for example, the SNP, both at Westminster and Holyrood, that if you look at their Twitter feeds, they're publicly displaying this.
Yes, and also in the Labour Party as well. We've
Absolutely,
seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it in the Tory Party as well. And I think we need to call it out. And I'm sorry, but those of you who are Celtic fans going, oh no, this was just solidarity with the oppressed, that at best... At absolute best, is naive.
I would be equally condemnatory of the Rangers fans who are then going flying
Israeli
flags just
course,
to wind up the Celtic fans.
Because that's what we need in Scotland. More sectarian religious divide. Yeah, go for it. Well done, guys. something else that's also actually quite sad. Just, I don't know, I'm not even sure there's much to comment on this other than to say it's happening. The women travelling to get an abortion and tweeting about it.
Well, what was interesting was the way the BBC covered it. There was two Irish women who travelled over to the UK, one to have an abortion, one to keep her company. And they live tweeted the whole thing to the Taoiseach Edna Kenny in Ireland. Mm-hmm. It was picked up by the media. They were tweeting out lots of pictures of waiting rooms and pictures of the plane, you know, that kind of thing throughout the course of the weekend. One thing I would say to the BBC, if you're going to cover it, cover it. Show the live abortion. Show the images on the BBC. If you're going to do it properly.
Yeah, absolutely. And by the way, thanks to all those who are in contact about the last Quantum where we did the abortion thing. And again, I want to stress how important it is. Not that Quantum, but the interview.
Listen to Anne Frady's comments.
It's a game changer. It's an absolute game changer. And we would encourage you to share that as much as possible. Now, speaking of game changers.
Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Shatter, 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 shatter. It's time. Smell the coffee. The coffee, yeah. Wake up, wake up, wake up, wake up. Shatter, 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 shatter. It's time. Smell the coffee. The coffee, yeah.
Let's return to Scotland and a man called Angus Buchan, who's not actually Scottish, though he's got Scottish ancestry with a name like that.
He's a televangelist from South Africa, isn't he? He's one of these God TV chaps.
He's a South African farmer. There are aspects of stuff that he says that I wouldn't agree with. I don't buy into the whole God TV healing stuff and things like that.
No.
However, the story here is that he came and he was due to speak in a church in Galles Shields, Hope Church, and the LGBT group, Secular Scotland, the Herald, the usual suspects, made a fuss. Borders Council withdrew the use of their building. Hope Church backed off. Now, I personally think Hope Church shouldn't have had him anyway, but then they backed off. They apologized. They said they're going to meet with LGBT. And I thought, oh, for goodness sake, that's intimidation. But he went to Dumfries. And there's an article on Kaleidoscot, the LGBT website, which talks about a protest that they went to. And I found it absolutely fascinating.
What's chilling about it all is the way that they call for not to be allowed even into the country.
Yeah.
Scotland doesn't need this homophobic hatred.
Well, let me give you the quote. Leave aside
whether you agree with him or not.
Yeah, leave aside whether you agree with him, and leave aside even, you know, the homophobia and so on. Let's suppose that he is homophobic. Let's suppose that he absolutely hates homosexuals or whatever. That, I mean, that doesn't come across in any of the message and so on. This is what was said. Everyone is entitled to their personal beliefs. Things become different when any one person or belief system tries to impose its beliefs on others. I think giving Angus a public platform is problematic and wrong, even in a church, as he and people who share his vows can cause so much harm. I don't think he should be allowed to preach to the public, as his beliefs can be very harmful.
Harmful. That's the argument that's used all the time.
Yeah. There you have a descent into absolute totalitarianism. And here's why. Because who defines harmful?
Who decides who's harmful?
Yeah. And I find that Kaleida Scott's views are harmful. I find that Secular Scotland's views are harmful. I think that maybe the Tory party's views are harmful, or the SNP's views are harmful. They should all be banned because they're harmful. What we're doing here is we're creating a mob mentality.
I mean, the irony in there is they're basically saying, look, everyone's entitled to their own views.
Except they're not.
But you're not allowed to impose your views on anyone else, they say, as they're imposing their views on everybody else.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
When you're standing on the crossroads that you cannot comprehend, just remember that death is not the end.
It's horrific what's going on in Italy. As we're recording this, we're aware of something like 247 deaths
at the latest count. When we're recording this, that number will increase.
Yeah, that's an earthquake, and it's just, you know, we pray especially for the churches there, who will be at the forefront in seeking to provide aid and help. And I think of the Italian people in my own congregation as well, and we remember them. But also, I want to go back to a sad thing, a death.
Sir Anthony Jay, who is one of the writers of Yes Minister and Yes Prime Minister, died recently. What a gifted man. What a series that was. That is probably one of the best comedies there's ever been.
I mean, if you're allowed to call a comedy series prophetic, it was sharp, it was witty. There are still things in it that just absolutely stand out. I mean, you've used
I use clips from it all the time. I mean, I remember back when I was at university in law school, in second year in public law class, our lecturer, the first thing he said, I was in our very first lecture, he said, all you need to do to pass this class is to watch Yes Minister.
Listen, folks, great to talk to you, and watch out for news from Solas. By the way, we had an absolutely fabulous Connect training day here last Saturday. Next one coming up on the 24th of September.
It's all about communicating with the press.
And meanwhile, we'll see you next week.
Yo. We're part of a culture that really loves to hate us. Every chance they get, they attempt to isolate and debate us. It's not that they don't like us, it's just they don't like God in us. It's common knowledge, and oddly enough, it makes a lot of sense to a lot of us. We completely understand because we used to occupy the same space and lived in a similar type state until we tasted of God's grace. So we continue loving this world that so easily rejects us and passionately press past the lack of their cultural acceptance. And as if there weren't enough problems for us gaining influence, we keep fighting over the issue of what's too worldly of a Christian to make a difference. So no matter how you paint it or politically campaign it, whether you water it down and drain it, it's really all the same, ain't it? It's the same frustration, same constant segregation. Christians living like aliens trying to relate with citizens of a different nation. What always makes for a better presentation than bark and bite is a proper understanding of living life filled with salt and light. So we walk this fine line of walking in light of God's kindness and live with a sense of worldliness without the fear of compromising. Loving God and neighbor until Christ comes to split the sky or die in this society, hailing Jesus as Messiah. Yep.